I'm very pleased, yes, happy to be able to stand before you this day, that I might declare unto you the word of God. For to this end I was called and ordained to his priesthood. I am mightily concerned with this Church of Christ, with this restoration movement, and the things that I have seen that had gone on, or gone on in this restoration movement, with our sister organizations, has caused a heavy load upon my shoulders. And brothers and sisters, I desire that to bring unto you only the truth. From those things which we have been given in these latter days. And in so doing, I would like you to go with me to Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter. And I'll begin reading at the 17th verse and read to the 21st. And it reads like this: Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. I realize that this was actually spoken to Ezekiel in a way, but in another way it has been spoken to everyone that has been called into the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that has accepted that office and calling in which they were called to have become watchmen for the Lord. And it is their duty that when they see that which is coming upon the people of the Lord, that they cry a warning unto them. And for this reason, I continue my reading. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him no warning. I want you to get this now. When the Lord says unto the wicked that they shall surely die, and the watchman gives no warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his own iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. But what about the righteous man? What about those that have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ in these last days? Let's go on with the reading, because it also tells us what is our duty as ministers for Christ. It says, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And again, when the righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him, and he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at thy hand. I sometimes wonder how many times in the past that the ministry of Christ has stood in the pulpit and not warned the people of the things which was coming upon this restoration movement. And this is the reason why that we have seen them divide and split up and go off in by and forbidden paths, even until they are nigh unto rejection from the Lord. But then he says, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. And this is what I desire today, because I can see, or I believe in my spiritual mind eye, I can see things coming even in upon this Church of Christ that are not right in the sight of God. Let's go to Isaiah, the 58th chapter, in the 1st to the 3rd verses. And this is another commandment to a servant of God, and we are all servants of God. And Isaiah was told, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Wherefore have we fasted, they say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Then he gives the reason. Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all of your labors. They do not do the things which Christ and God have commanded how that they should do. Yet they exact their labors and go in their own pleasurable way. Well, I don't feel that I need to cry as loud in that way, because the Lord in these last days, I believe with all of my heart and mind, has cried unto us. I see I have not got all the things that I need up here. If you'll excuse me a moment, I will go get them. You will pardon me for this interruption, but I want to take you to the 83rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants. And I believe with all of my heart that this is the Lord speaking in our day and in our time. And so, brothers and sisters, I ask you, let us reason with the Lord upon this thing. The 83rd section, the 7th and 8th verses. And I believe with all my heart that this is the Lord speaking. Because in the beginning it says a revelation of Jesus Christ unto his servant Joseph Smith. Jesus Christ speaking to and through Joseph. He says, and now I give unto you a commandment to beware concerning yourselves, to give diligent heed to the words of eternal life. To the words of eternal life that the Lord our God has given unto us in these last days again, that we might be prepared, and that we might prepare a way in which all men might come and learn of the ways of the Lord. Then he says, for you shall live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. We read that in our Sunday school this morning, that Jesus told that to Satan. That it was not given that man should live by bread alone, but that he should live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And what does it mean to live by every word? It means to study and search out every word that he has given unto us, whether it be in times of old or whether it be, yes, even today. Search them out and learn the truth and hold fast to that which is good and that which is true. That we might truly know the way of the Lord, and that we might have the power, the gift and power of the Holy Ghost to be able to say unto Satan, get thee behind me. Even as Christ said. And to live by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God would change us till we would live and keep every commandment that he has given. Even those that he has given in these last days. That we would bring forth a people that, as it is recorded in the fourth book of Nephi. I'll not turn to it, but it said in there that they lived in such a happy manner that they couldn't be a happier people among the people whom God had created. Yes, I think I will read it. On page 683. I'll begin with the 17th verse. Now this was just shortly after Christ had been here and taught these people. And says, "And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of people." Is there contention within the land? Is there contention within this church, this body of the bride of Christ? If there is, it should not be here. If we are led and by the Spirit of God. It says, "And there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness." And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. This is our heritage. This is what we should labor for. Now I want to go on with the reading from the 83rd section. It says, "For the word of the Lord is truth, and whatsoever is truth is light, and whatsoever is light is spirit, even the spirit of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit giveth light to every man that cometh into the world, and the Spirit enlighteneth every man through the world that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit." I want you to treasure up that thought now. "And the Spirit lighteneth every man through the world, but that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit. And everyone that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit cometh unto God, even the Father. And the Father teacheth him the covenant which he hath renewed and confirmed upon you." Yea, even in these last days, he has renewed that covenant and confirmed it upon us, if we will take it upon us and believe. "Which is confirmed upon you for your sakes, and not for your sakes only, but for the sake of the whole world." How important it is then for us to take upon us that new covenant. Not only to say, but to do and live by which that commandment has been given, and that covenant has been given. For the sake of the whole world. "And the whole world lieth in sin, and groaneth under darkness, and under the bondage of sin. And by this you may know they are under the bondage of sin, because they come not unto me. And whoso cometh not unto me is under the bondage of sin." And brothers and sisters, right here, for us, if we take part of what has come to us in these last days by the gift and power of God through the instrumentality of Joseph, but we take another part and say we don't need this and want to cast it away, are we keeping all of that covenant? Are we coming unto him fully? Or are we reserving and holding back? If we are, then we are under the bondage of sin, according to this word. "And whoso receiveth not my voice is not acquainted with my voice, and is not of me. And by this you may know the righteous from the wicked, and that the whole earth groaneth under sin and darkness even now." And now hear these words. They are not my words, but they are the words of Christ given to us for our profit and our learning. In the 8th verse it says, "And your minds in time past have been darkened because of unbelief, and because you have treated lightly." Notice the wording. "You have treated lightly the things you have received, which vanity and unbelief have brought the whole church under condemnation." Brothers and sisters, are we in this category? That we have treated lightly the things that we have received through the gift and power of the Holy Ghost? If we are, then it's time that we get down on our knees and repent of this. But heed the rest of this verse, where it says, "This condemnation resteth upon the children of Zion even all." That doesn't leave out anyone, does it? "And they shall remain under this condemnation until they repent and remember the new covenant, even the Book of Mormon, and the former commandments which I have given them, not only to say, but to do according to that which I have written." What former commandments? those that were given before this one was given. Those that are also contained, and I believe, yes, contained in the inspired version of the Bible. And I will get to that later. And why should they repent and remember that former commandment, the new covenant, even the Book of Mormon and the former commandments? It says that they may bring forth meat for their father's kingdom. Otherwise there remaineth a scourge and a judgment to be poured out upon the children of Zion. For shall the children of the kingdom pollute my holy land? Verily I say unto you, nay. Well, what are some of the things, or what are the things that we have received through the gift and power of the Holy Spirit in these last days? We have received this record of the Nephites. I believe you will all agree with that. We have received the gift and the power of the priesthood, that same priesthood of which Christ had in these last days. We have received those things which was left out of the record of the Jews, as spoken of by the Book of Mormon, or a part of those things, because of the great and abominable church. I want to take you to the Book of Mormon on page 35 to show you what the Book of Mormon says about that which we know as the King James translation of the Bible. Begin on page 35, verse 157. And this is Nephi. And he says, and I beheld a book, and it was carried forth among them, that is, among his brethren. And the angel said unto me, knowest thou the meaning of the book? And I said unto him, I know not. And he said, behold, it proceedeth out of the mouth of a Jew, and I, Nephi, beheld it. And he said unto me, the book that thou beheldest is the record of the Jews, which contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it also containeth many of the prophecies of the holy prophets. And it is a record like unto the engravings which are upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. Wherefore they are of great worth unto the Gentiles. And the angel said unto me, thou hast beheld the book proceed forth out of the mouth of a Jew. I want you to pay special attention to the next wording. And when it proceeded forth from the mouth of the Jew, it contained the plainness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record. And they bear record according to the truth which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore these things go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles according to the truth which is in God. And that's the time of the Apostle Paul, that they went forth in purity at that time. But listen to the next verse. It says, and after they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb from the Jews unto the Gentiles, thou seest the foundation of a great and abominable church, which is most abominable above all other churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the land many parts, which are plain and most precious. And also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away. And all this they have done that they might pervert the ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, thou seest that after the book hath gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, that there are many plain and precious things taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God. And after these plain and precious things were taken away, it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles. And after it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters which thou hast seen, with the Gentiles which have gone forth out of captivity, Thou seest, because the many plain and precious things which have been taken out of the book, which were plain unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which is in the Lamb of God. Because of these things which are taken away out of the gospel of the Lamb, an exceeding great many do stumble, insomuch that Satan hath great power over them. And this was the reason why that great and abominable church took that record and took those plain and precious things out of it, that they might blind the eyes and cause the people of the earth to stumble and fall and not know and recognize and understand those things which were of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now let's go on to page 37. Begin with verse 183. But after these things were taken out, and it went forth to all nations, and even come over to this land. It says, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly, because the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, and they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And I'm reading from that record. Now, and after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. Let's stop and ponder this now. Have we sought diligently to bring forth Zion? Let me pause here and go over to the 10th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi and read to you something out of there. It's on page 664. And this is speaking to us, to the Gentiles, upon the face of this land. And he said, and this is also Christ speaking. And he says, but if they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant. Yes, that new covenant that was spoken of in the 83rd section. And be numbered among this the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I shall give this land for their inheritance. And they shall assist my people, even the remnant of Jacob. And so we will be numbered with the remnant of Jacob. And this will be our land of inheritance also. And also as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And then will I assist my people, and then shall they assist my people, that they may be gathered in who are scattered upon all the faces of the land unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in their midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. Is not this speaking about, and blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost? I believe it is. That this city, that we are have that privilege, if we will accept of that privilege, to go in and build and help build and bring forth the gathering together of those who are honest in heart, of all who will come and take upon them the name of Christ, gathered in unto the city of Zion. It says, and if they do endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. And whoso publish peace, yea, tidings of joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. Then he said, and it came to pass, I beheld the remnant of my of the seed of my brethren, and also the book of the Lamb of God, which proceeded forth from the Jew, that it came forth from the Gentiles unto the remnant of my seed. This was that book that many plain and precious things had been taken out of, that came forth. He also saw that this record would come forth. But I want you to notice this next verse. It says, and after it had come forth unto them, I beheld other books. Other books than this and the record of the Jew. They came forth by the power of the land from the Gentiles unto them, unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the Jews who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, that the records and prophets of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. And the angel spake unto me, saying, these last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first, which are the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them, and shall make known to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him, or they cannot be saved. And so, the Lord has promised that he would continue to bring forth his words unto the children of men. And so again I ask, what are the things that we have received in these last days? Well, again, I would like to take you to the Doctrine and Covenants, the 22nd section. And this is a revelation that was given to Joseph again, but it was also a revelation speaking about Moses, when Moses was taken up into a high mountain and shown the things which the Lord had done and what the Lord had told him. And the beginning with the 24th verse, and the Lord speaking unto Moses said, now, Moses, my son, I will speak unto you concerning this earth upon which you stand, and you shall write the things which I shall speak. And in the day when the children of men shall esteem my words as naught, and take many of them from the book which you shall write, behold, I will raise up another like unto you, and they shall be had again among the children of men, among even as many as shall believe. These words were spoken unto Moses in the mount, the name of which shall not be made known among the children of men. And now they are spoken unto you. Amen. What were the words that was to be given back by the gift and power of God? What were the words that was talking about in this revelation? Some of them, all of them, are contained in what is known as the inspired version. And it is a part, it is a product, if you please, of the restoration of this gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I want to bear unto you a testimony of which I received, and why that I am so positive that this is the work of Jesus Christ. When I was a young man, before I was married even, I had a dream, a vision, if you please, in which I saw myself walking out on the east wall of the temple that is to be up here on the temple lawn. And it seemed I was going out there to preach to a congregation of people that was on the other side of River Street. Now at the time that I had this vision, and that block there was full of houses. But when I had the vision, as far as I could see, there were people sitting out there waiting to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I went out there, I had three volumes. Only they were bound together in one. One was the Holy Scriptures. The next one was the Book of Mormon. The third one, instead of it being called the Book of Commandments, it was the Commandments of the Lord. And as I went out to preach, I met Brother Arthur M. Smith coming back, because he had been out there speaking. And as we passed, he told me, he said, "Brother Gene," he said, "hew to the line, let the chips fall where they may." Well, maybe that wasn't so much of a witness, but after I had been called into the ministry, I had moved out to Oregon. I had another vision. It seemed that I and my beloved companion went into a store, and I was looking for a coat. It was wintertime, and I needed a coat. No, it wasn't a new store. It was one of these, like a Goodwill store. And I found there a coat, a magnificent coat. And it just radiated with color. And it had a big shawl collar that come down, fur collar. And I looked at it, and I thought, and said to my companion, "That's too big for me." And she said, "Well, try it on." And I did, and it fit. We went up to the clerk and bought the coat. After I got outside, I felt something bumping against my side. And I felt it had large pockets, and I felt in there, and there was this volume of three books. I brought it out and looked at it, and again, the Holy Scriptures, the Book of Mormon, the Commandments of the Lord. And I turned and looked at the fly leaf, and there written in longhand was the name of Joseph Smith. And to me, brothers and sisters, that is positive proof that this inspired version, as we call it, is a product of the Restoration. That it is the work of Jesus Christ through inspiration to the prophet Joseph to bring that forth. Now, if you will you turn with me to the 44th chapter of the Book of Commandments? The 43rd verse, the 43rd and the 44th verses. And it reads, "Thou shalt ask, and my scripture shall be given, even as I have appointed." I want you to notice the wording. "Thou shalt ask, and my scripture shall be given, even as I have appointed." The Lord appointed that his scriptures would be given. Well, some may say, "Well, that was the Book of Mormon." That couldn't have been Book of Mormon, because this revelation was given in 1831. The Book of Mormon had been in print and in circulation before that. What scriptures then was it talking about? Those scriptures that had been taken out of the King James translation. Brothers and sisters, if you will accept it, that is what it is talking about. And it said, "And for thy safety it is expedient that thou shouldest hold thy peace concerning them until ye have received them." Notice the wording, "until you have received them." And Joseph Smith had received them. And then it says, "Then I give unto you a commandment that you shall teach unto all men. And they also shall be taught unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people." When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we should combine these two books, these three books, if we are going to teach the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to take special notice of what it said in the 22nd section of the Doctrine and Covenants. Again, and I'll read it to you. The 24th verse. "Now, Moses, my son, I speak unto you concerning this earth upon which you stand. And you shall write the things which I shall speak, And in the day when the children of men shall esteem my words as naught, and take many of them from the book which thou shalt write, behold, I will raise up another like unto you. And they shall be had again among the children of men, among even as many as shall believe. I want to ask you a question. Is this record had among all the churches of the world? No, it is not. And why isn't it? Because they do not believe. They do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as they should. And if we then say that we put this book with the King, what we know as the King James translation of the Bible, then we are not putting it with the fullness of the wording of Christ. But it is a combination of what we have received, the Latter-day Revelations, the Book of Mormon, and the inspired version, that when they grow together, will be that which will put down all disputations and contentions and false doctrines. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, I take you again to the Book of Commandments, the first chapter. And I want you to notice the wording at the very beginning. And he says, "Hearken, all ye people of my church." Of whose church? The church of Jesus Christ. The church of Christ is who he's speaking to. "Hearken, O ye people of my church, saith the voice of him who dwells on high." And who is him, the one that dwells on high? Is it not our Savior, Jesus Christ, that when he ascended up into heaven, that he sat down on the right hand of his Father in the throne of majesty? And whose eyes are upon all men, yea, verily I say, hearken, ye people from afar, ye that are upon the isles of the sea, listen together, for verily the voice of the Lord is unto all men, and there is none to escape, and there is no eye that shall not see, neither ear that shall not hear, neither heart that shall not be penetrated. And the rebellious shall be pierced with much sorrow. For their iniquity shall be spoken upon the housetop, and their secret acts shall be revealed, and the voice of warning shall be unto all people by the mouths of my disciples, whom I have chosen in these last days, and they shall go forth, and none shall stay them, for I, the Lord, hath commanded them. Behold, this is mine authority, and the authority of my servants, and my preface unto the book of my commandments, which I have given unto them to publish unto you, O inhabitants of the earth. Wherefore fear and tremble, O ye people, for what I the Lord have decreed in them shall be fulfilled. And verily I say unto you, that they who go forth bearing these tidings unto the inhabitants of the earth, to them is given power to seal both on earth and in heaven the unbelieving and the rebellious, yea, verily, to seal them up unto the day when the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the wicked without measure, unto the day when the Lord shall come to recompense unto every man according to his work, and measure to every man according to the measure which he hath measured to his fellow man. Wherefore the voice of the Lord is unto the ends of the earth, and all that will hear may hear. I want you to notice this wording now. All that will hear may hear. There are going to be some that will not hear, and so they won't hear. Because the Book of Mormon tells us that there was no one so deaf as he that will not hear. It says, prepare ye for that which is to come. For the Lord is nigh, and the anger of the Lord is kindled, and his sword is bathed in the heavens, and it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth, and the arm of the Lord shall be revealed, and the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and the apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. Do we believe that the time is near for the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Master? Can we not see by the things that are happening in the world today that the time is very near? And so again, brothers and sisters, I say it must needs be that we should repent of our unbelief, that we should repent of treating the things lightly that we have received from our Lord and Master by the gift and power of the Holy Ghost, and that we should take these things and study them that we might hang on to the words of truth. Study them by the gift and power of God, because the promise is made unto us and to all who will listen, that we will have the Spirit of God to be with us, not only to comfort us and strengthen us, but He will lead us into all truth, and He will bring to our minds things that are past and let us know of things to come. I'd like to continue with the reading. It says, for he read about where those that would not hear the Lord's voice, nor the voice of his servants, would be cut off from among the people. For they have strayed from mine ordinances, and have broken mine everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness. But every man walketh in his own way, and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world, and whose substance is that of an idol, which waxeth old, and shall perish in Babylon, even Babylon the great, which shall fall. Let's consider these wordings also. Are we straying from the ordinances? Are we straying from those things which God has given us in these last days to direct us and to lead us into the ways of truth and righteousness? Each one should answer that for themselves on how they believe. But he says, wherefore I, the Lord, knowing the calamity which shall come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph, and spoke unto him from heaven, and gave him commandments. And also gave commandments to others, that they should proclaim these things unto the world. And all this, that it might be fulfilled, which is written by the prophets. The weak things of the world should come forth, and break down the mighty and strong. That man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God the Lord, even the Savior of the world. That faith also might increase in the earth, that mine everlasting covenant might be established, that the fullness of my gospel might be proclaimed to the weak and the simple, unto the ends of the world and before kings and rulers. Behold, I am God and have spoken it. These commandments are of me, and were given unto my servants in their weakness, after the manner of their language, that they might come to understanding, and inasmuch as they erred, that it might be made known, and inasmuch as they sought wisdom, they might be instructed, and inasmuch as they sinned, they might be chastened, that they might repent, and inasmuch as they were humble, they might be made strong, and blessed from on high, and receive knowledge from time to time, after they having received the record of the Nephites, yea, even my servant Joseph might have power to translate through the mercy of God and by the power of God the Book of Mormon, and also those to whom these commandments were given might have power to lay the foundation of this church, and to bring it forth out of obscurity and out of darkness, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, with which I, the Lord, am well pleased, speaking of the church collectively and not individually. And brothers and sisters, I heard the statement made, and I believe that it is true. Is a church among many churches. It is not outstanding like it should be. It is not outstanding like it is promised in Micah, the 4th chapter, where that the nations of the earth will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord of Jacob and learn of his ways. It is not outstanding that the peoples of the world can see that we are different from the other churches of the world. And with shame we should say and admit to ourselves that we have not brought it out from obscurity, that it still is obscured by the churches around about. And the reason that we have not been able to bring it out is just that I read to you from the 83rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants, because of unbelief that entered into the church years ago, and because they began to treat lightly the things that they had received, and to set them aside one after another. And this is the warning that I cry unto you this day, that we repent and come down in the depths of humility and begin to study out those things that we have caused, yes, to be treated lightly, and that we search out the truths in them. Oh, I realize, and I have been told, that we must be careful, and I believe that also, that we must be careful that we be not deceived. But brothers and sisters, I believe that we must be doubly careful that we not take any of the word of truth, whether it was given in ancient times or whether it has been given in these last days, and cast it aside and say it is of no worth. And therefore we have need, brothers and sisters, to search and study and rely upon the Holy Spirit to guide us into the ways of all truth and righteousness. Now, if you will, I would ask you to turn with me to the prophet Jeremiah. The third chapter. The 12th to the 22nd verses. It says, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Have we as a people of the Lord been backsliding? Have we for 154 years or so just, yes, as the saying is, dilly-dallied, and not really put forth the effort to do the work that he has commanded us to do in these last days, to preach his, keep his commandments, and to seek diligently to bring forth the cause of Zion? Have we done these things? If we hadn't, we have been backsliding. In the 13th verse it says, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. We have obeyed his voice, partly, but only partly. Then again he says, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of the city, and to every family, and I will bring you to Zion. How will he do this? The only way he will do it is if we are willing to come down in the depths of humility and seek him, yes, and be submissive unto his will. That's the only way that he can do it. And I will give you pastures according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass that when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. And why will it not be done? I just read to you from 3 Nephi. Because if we will do the will of the Lord God, that we will be able to build up that city in which Christ himself will come and dwell in our midst. And we will not have any need for speaking of the Ark of the Covenant, because he will be with us. And at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord of Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Now this is our heritage, to build that city that they will look to and want to come to. That they'll not walk after the imaginations of their heart, but they will want to learn and walk after the commandments and the things of God. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land which I give for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shall not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. I want to read that last verse to you again. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. Is that what we are? Is that the way we have done with God? I hope not. And if we have, I pray that we will be willing to repent and turn back to the Lord and serve Him faithfully. And a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications for the children of Israel. For they have perverted their way, they have forgotten the Lord their God. Let's think of these things. Have we forgotten Him? Have we turned aside? Have we wanted to cast aside some of the things that God had given unto us in these last days, that it would direct us in the ways of truth and righteousness? Hear this then. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. This is the way. We return to do those things. And again in the sixth chapter of Jeremiah, I will read the 10th and 11th verses, and then go down to the 16th and 17th. And the Lord says, to whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the Lord, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. When we take some of these things that the Lord has given to us in these last days and say we have no need of them, this is just what we're doing. Well, you may not like it, but these are not my words that I have brought to you this morning. And the Lord says, therefore, I am full of the fear of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together, and even the husband and the wife shall be taken, and the aged in his days, when his days are full, shall be taken. How? Because of the condemnation that is pronounced upon those that will not believe. And all my brothers, we want just that which we want. We will not accept the things that have been restored through the inspiration of God, some of those things that was taken from the record of the Jew. Now the 17th verse. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Are we in that condition? Is that our condition? Again, let me take you to the Book of Mormon. Alma on page 344. This is very significant, and this is something that we should take into our minds, into our hearts, and listen. This is Alma speaking to Zizorn. I'll begin with the 14th verse. And Alma said, and he said unto Alma, what does this mean, which Amulek spoke concerning the resurrection of the dead, that all shall rise from the dead, both the just and the unjust, and are brought to stand before God to be judged according to their works? Do we know what that's speaking of? There is going to be a time when you and I will have to stand before the judgment bar of God and give a reason for why we believe or why we did not believe. The 15th verse. And now Alma began to expound these things unto him, saying, it is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. Nevertheless, they are laid under a strict command that they shall not impart only according... Get these words again. Only according to the portion of his word, which he doth grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. And therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until they know them in full. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's not harden our hearts against the word of God, whether it comes today or tomorrow, or whether it come back in the days this was written. Let's not harden our hearts against the word of God, because this will be our condemnation if we do. And they that will harden their hearts, to them is given the lesser portion of the word, until they know nothing concerning his mysteries. And then they are taken captive by the devil and led by his will down to destruction. Well, let's go to page 725 and see what we have in store, a promise for us by Christ. And I hope you'll bear with me. I realize I'm taking a little extra time, but I want to get this message across. Beginning with the 109th verse, and this is to us. Come unto me, O ye Gentiles, and I will show unto you greater things. Not just the things that have been, but he's going to show unto us greater things. The knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. Brothers and sisters, I believe that some of that knowledge has been held back because of unbelief that has come into the Church of Christ, and will be held back until we will do as it says in the 83rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants. The 110th verse says, come unto me, all ye house of Israel, and it shall be made manifest unto you how great things the Father hath laid up for you from the foundation of the world. And it hath not come to you because of unbelief. Yea, when ye call upon the Father. Wait a minute. Go back a verse. Behold, when ye shall rend that veil of unbelief, which doth cause you to remain in your awful state of wickedness and hardness of heart and blindness of mind, then shall the great and marvelous things which have been hid up from the foundation of the world from you. Those things will come forth when we can rend this power of unbelief that we are under. Yea, when ye shall call upon the Father in my name with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, then shall ye know that the Father hath remembered the covenant which he made with your fathers, O house of Israel. And then shall my revelations, which I have caused to be written by my servant John, be unfolded in your eyes, in the eyes of all people. Remember, when ye see these things, ye shall know that the time is at hand, that they shall be made manifest in very deed. Therefore, when ye shall receive this record, ye may know that the work of the Father has commenced upon all the face of the land. And that's speaking of this record. And brothers and sisters, I do not believe that we have fully accepted this record. If we had fully accepted it, we would be laboring to build that city that is spoken of in the 10th chapter of 3rd Nephi. We would be laboring diligently to bring forth and establish Zion. We would be laboring diligently to prepare and make a people like it is spoken of in the 4th book of Nephi. We would be laboring diligently to make a people and prepare a people, even as it is called, a society of one for all and all for one. A working together, if you please, for the benefit of all in the community. For that is our heritage. Let me go to the Saint's Hymnal on page 265 and read some of the words that were given, yes, in these last days, the Song of Admonition, the 5th and 6th verses. And I believe with all my heart that this is the Lord speaking in this song. For he says, love ye me and love all people. Love as I have loved you. And how did he love us? He was willing to be crucified upon the cross that we might, by believing in him and keeping his words and his commandments, would that we might have eternal life. And we should have that same love one for another, that if it were possible that I could save one of your lives, I would be willing to lay down my life. Let me reread this then. It says, love ye me and love all people. Love as I have loved you. This your calling. This my purpose. Thus be my disciples true. Then in this exalted station, your companion I will be. In this exalted station, if we will climb to these atmospheres of love, he will be our constant companion. Day upon day upon day, week upon week, year upon year. And he says, every promise of my scriptures will be verified in thee. Get ye up then to your mountain, Zion of this closing day, for the glory of my coming waits to break upon your way. Forth from thence your testimony shall to trembling nations go, and the world confess that with you God has residence below. Now I'd like to take you in a closing thought to Jeremiah, again, the 3rd chapter, the 22nd verse. Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. This is the voice of the Lord to us. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. And if we will come down in the depths of humility and meekness, yea, if we are willing to take upon us the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are willing to remember all things and search out the truths in the commandments that he has given in these last days with a diligent heart, he will lead us in the ways of truth and righteousness. He will heal our backslidings and make us his people. And he will come and dwell with us. I thank you.